You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hey everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com, get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
Well, I hate to say it, but we've been saying this all along. Celeste Rivas Hernandez's parents allegedly signed a notarized travel consent form allowing their daughter to fly to London for a week with a grown man. No other family member on the trip, no adult sister, not an uncle, not a cousin, just a girl who hadn't started high school, and a platinum-selling musician 5 years older than her on a private trip. The form didn't sign itself. Somebody walked into an office, put her name on a legal document, and sent their kid across the ocean alone with David Anthony Burke, allegedly. And that's our starting point today, because everything that follows makes it worse. Your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube. Links are in the description. If you want to take our podcast with you wherever you go, there's the QR code on the screen if you're watching us on YouTube right now. That'll take you to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you're listening, and you can hit subscribe and take us with you there. So I'll leave that up for a few minutes, and you can check that out. So we've been saying for a long time, Celeste Rivas Hernandez was failed by basically every adult in her life, and that turns out to be quite true. Celeste's father would later tell reporters through his attorney that he'd never had any contact with Burke. We'll come back to that. We'll revisit that little factoid, okay? It's such an angering case. And here's the other thing the parents already knew by the time they signed that form. Deputies had been to Burke's door about Celeste in February 24, told them face-to-face that their daughter was a 13-year-old runaway. Law enforcement drew the line in ink, and the parents, they signed the permission slip anyway. July 27th marked the fifth and final day of Burke's preliminary hearing in Los Angeles. Judge Charlene Olmedo ruled that prosecutors met their burden on all counts. Burke, the singer who goes by David D4VD, was held to answer for first-degree murder with special circumstances, including lying in wait, financial gain, and killing a witness. He was also held on charges related to continuous illegal conduct with Celeste, who was under 14, and unlawful mutilation of her remains. No bail. Arraignment August 31st. The DA's office says he's eligible for the death penalty, and they haven't decided whether to pursue it. The DA, Nathan Hochman, told reporters that what they'd presented over those 5 days was, in his words, a small but illustrative fraction of the evidence they have. A small but illustrative fraction. But the ruling isn't what landed hardest on day five. What landed hardest was the testimony about Celeste's family and how catastrophically they failed their daughter. LAPD Detective Corey Farrell, under cross-examination by defense attorney Blair Burke, testified that the parents of both Burke and Celeste knew about the relationship. Burke's argument to the court was blunt. The family had multiple opportunities to intervene and didn't. The relationship, Burke said, was no secret. Obviously, it doesn't justify anything that David did. It just puts people that want to be viewed in one category over here as grieving parents. Oh my gosh, how could this possibly have happened to our little girl? Well, you should have given a shit about her while she was alive and not let her go around the world with an adult that clearly isn't having slumber parties, watching reruns of Nancy Drew and eating cookies at night. I have a daughter this exact same age, and there is no planet, there is no human being on this world who will ever come into my home. I don't care how friendly they are, how close she thinks she is to somebody, that will ever be like, oh yeah, let's go take a trip around the world together. You and this other young adult. Let me sign that paper so that can happen. That seems like a great idea. No. 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 She was a runaway. Bullshit. You were a runaway from parenting. You ran away from that job. Why was she running away from you? Why was she finding so much comfort and peace over with David outside of your own home? That's a question I'd love to have answered. Because the evidence is starting to stack up, and it's looking pretty shitty, in my opinion. Celeste's sister traveled with them to one of Burke's shows in Las Vegas. Text messages indicated the group planned to stay together at a hotel. Celeste was filmed sitting with Burke's family in a VIP section at a concert at the Fonda Theater in Hollywood. Burke attended church with family members of Celeste's family on at least one occasion. He picked Celeste up from her aunt's home in Los Angeles. On top of all that, the London consent form notarized, signed by her parents, authorizing a trip overseas with no family chaperone for an entire week, allegedly. The detective acknowledged that investigators had recovered messages referencing some of those plans, but couldn't confirm that every single planned activity actually occurred. That's a fair caveat for a Las Vegas hotel reservation or a church visit. It doesn't apply to a notarized legal document. A permission slip isn't a plan, it's a decision. On February 17th to 24, the Riverside County Sheriff's Office contacted Burke after identifying his phone number and Celeste's phone records. She'd been reported missing from her family's phone in Lake Elsinore. Burke told deputies he'd last spoken to her a few days earlier, but claimed he didn't know she was a minor. He told them, she'd said she was 18. Body camera footage played during the hearing captured him saying it out loud. She told me she was 18. Everybody's telling me she was 13. When Los Angeles County deputies arrived at his West Hollywood home that same day, they told him directly, Celeste Rivas was 13 years old. She's a runaway. They did a welfare check, didn't find her at the residence, and left. One deputy told Burke on camera, I hope they find her. And that was it. They walked away satisfied with the cooperation, doing a deep dive there into making sure that they're protecting and serving. That date, February 17th of 24, is the last, is the line that can't be uncrossed. Before that date, some are going to try and argue maybe the parents didn't fully understand the scope of what was happening. Maybe they thought Burke was a friend. Maybe they didn't ask enough questions. No, after that date, nobody gets to claim ignorance. Law enforcement told Burke to his face how old their daughter was, and every piece of family facilitated contact that came after the London trip, the continued weekends at his Hollywood Hills house, the Texas visit to meet his family. All of it happened on the other side of that line. So let's go back to what Celeste's father said. In May of 26, after Burke's arrest, Jesus Rivas released a statement through attorney Patrick Steinfeld. The quote given to multiple outlets, including Rolling Stone and TMZ, was categorical. I never had any contact with this guy, and we haven't received any money from him or anyone in his family. It's a lot of questions to answer that you weren't asked. Not, I barely knew him. Not, we met briefly. Never had any contact. Well, you, sir, allegedly have signed a notarized permission slip to send your daughter to London with him. Your other daughter traveled with them to Las Vegas. He was attending church with your family. He was picking your daughter up from her aunt's house. He was sitting in VIP sections with your relatives at his own concerts. And you never had any contact with the guy? Those are the allegations. That's the evidence they say they have. One of those things can't be true. Either the May denial doesn't hold up or the court evidence is fabricated. Nobody at the hearing argued the evidence was fabricated. Now, prosecutors did present evidence that Celeste's parents took some steps. They took her phone away after one of her runaway incidents. Maybe we should take her phone away after we've allowed her to go traveling with an adult. They called police when she disappeared. They reported her missing. Those aren't the actions of people who don't care at all. Those are gestures that suggest they understood something was wrong and probably didn't want to look accountable. But here's the problem with gestures. After the parents took Celeste's phone, Burke allegedly paid a junior high student in Celeste's class $1,000 to deliver her a replacement phone that he'd purchased. $1,000 to a kid in a middle school so he could keep talking to their daughter. And the relationship didn't just continue, it escalated. Celeste spent weekends at Burke's house in the Hollywood Hills. She traveled with him across the country. She went overseas. All of this after deputies had already told everyone involved exactly how old she was. The parents' interventions were gestures. The permission slip was a decision. I think there are only two explanations that make any sense, and neither one of them is acceptable here. The first is that they saw dollar signs. I don't know. Could be conjecture here. Interscope Records senior vice president testified during the hearing that Burke's contract was worth a minimum of $13 million with an estimated value of up to $19 million. That's not a small-time SoundCloud kid. That's a platinum-selling artist with a deal worth more money than most people will see in a lifetime. A family in Lake Elsinore, a town 2 hours southeast of L.A., with a daughter who had access to VIP sections, international travel, hotel suites, and the inner circle of a major label recording artist. You don't have to be cynical to connect those dots. You just have to look at the permission slip and the Vegas trips and the concert footage and the church visits and ask yourself exactly what was driving those decisions. The second possibility is simpler and arguably worse. They knew something was wrong. They took the phone. They called the police. Then they signed the form anyway. Not because of money or fame or success, because they just didn't care enough to hold the line. I don't want an argument. Let's let our 13-year-old daughter go travel with the adult superstar. And, whatever happens, happens. Pick one. Both are indefensible and neither changes what happened to Celeste. What reporters asked D.A. Hockman about the family's claims that they didn't approve of the relationship, despite the text, the travel documents, the Las Vegas trip, the London form, he sidesteps the question completely, called it an unspeakable tragedy. Wouldn't touch it. That's the elected district attorney of the largest county in the country choosing not to answer a direct question about a 14-year-old parent's. That silence tells you a lot. The defense isn't raising the parents' knowledge to help Celeste. They're raising it to help Burke. Blair Burke's argument is straightforward. If the parents knew and consented, if they signed the forms and sent the singer along and attended church together, then maybe Burke believed the relationship was sanctioned. Maybe he didn't think he was doing anything wrong. That's the play. Muddy the water on intent. Create reasonable doubt. From a parenting standpoint, the defense's argument makes the parents look worse, not better, because Burke is essentially telling the court, these parents knew their daughter was spending time with my client. They facilitated it. They signed off on it. The defense also introduced text messages where Celeste threatened to destroy Burke's career and go to his mother. They argued she demanded the final meeting on April 23rd, that Burke initially said no because he was preparing for a trip, and that she pushed until he agreed. They even floated the idea that Celeste may have taken her own life, a claim the family's attorney called baseless and without evidentiary support, all of it designed to shift accountability away from the defendant. But if Burke's right about the parents, if the family truly did know and participate, then the parents enabled every hour Celeste spent at that house, every weekend, every trip, every overnight. The family's attorney, Steinfeld, told reporters the family was horrified that the defense brought up evidence to put the blame on a 14-year-old child. And he's right to be horrified by that. They also brought up blame to put on your clients, the parents. Celeste was a child. The defense pointed to texts where Celeste threatened to expose Burke and argued she demanded the final meeting. That's the kind of argument that falls apart the second you remember she was 14. She can't consent. She wasn't the adult in that situation. She was a kid. None of it was her fault, not one bit of it. But being horrified at the defense's tactics doesn't answer the question the defense raised. How much did the parents know, and what did they do about it? Burke goes to an arraignment on August 31st. The DA says the death penalty is on the table. And the evidence presented so far, according to prosecutors, only a fraction of what's coming at trial. Burke is the one charged. Burke is the one who allegedly took Celeste's life and left her remains in the trunk of his Tesla while he went on a world tour. The accountability for what happened in that Hollywood Hills house obviously belongs to him. But every adult in this girl's orbit failed her. The parents who signed the permission slip, the deputies who went to Burke's door in February 24, told him she was 13 and walked away satisfied. The management team that allegedly received an email from people concerned about Celeste's whereabouts and, according to reporting from Los Angeles Magazine, did nothing to intervene. The industry that handed this man Coachella stages, late-night television appearances, a world tour, and a record deal reportedly worth up to $19 million, while a 13-year-old's name sat in his phone records. Not one of those adults put themselves between Celeste and what was coming. And they need to be held accountable. Celeste Rivas Hernandez was 14 years old. She never got to see 15. She deserved adults in her life who would protect her, who would see the permission slip and refuse to sign it, who would see the VIP section and ask questions, who would see the London itinerary and say no. She got adults who signed the form, and every one of them has to live with that. Your thoughts in the comments section on Substack and YouTube. We will continue our conversation right there. If you're not with us yet on the podcast platform, go check us out. That's the link right there. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeart, you name it. That link will take you to our podcast tree. Pick your player, press subscribe. You can take us along with you wherever you may go. All right. Until next time. My name is Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Hanging out at the pool is great. Relaxing and playing Vegas-style games on my phone at the same time. Drink in one hand and a blackjack in the other. It's all at SpinQuest. Over 1,000 games, including your favorite slots and table games. Be cool with this summer special. New players get $30 coin packs for 10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Here's what happened when one journalist reported on DEI programs.
I decided to just focus on the University of Michigan. I obtained internal documents that showed that the school had spent about $250 million on DEI programs. I spent 2 weeks in Ann Arbor talking to everybody I could find. The unintended consequences of these programs, they had sort of left everybody dissatisfied. And this expensive machinery the school had built just imploded. If you're a journalist, you are not on anyone's team. All you're trying to do is figure out as many of the facts as you can gather. The facts are going to guide you to where the story lands. You're not taking sides. I'm Nick Confessori. I'm an investigations reporter for the New York Times.
Journalists like Nick follow the facts wherever they lead. They go where news breaks, get answers firsthand, and publish what they find. That's fact-based reporting. Seek it out if you don't already.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and we're driving through the states in the Bluffmobile, and the best thing that we can do is play our favorite casino-style games on SpinQuest. They have over 1,000 games, including live dealer, blackjack, and craps, with tons of slots and unlimited options. You can get a $30 coin pack for just $10 for new users. Sign up today. Go to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and we're driving through the states in the Bluffmobile, and the best thing that we can do is play our favorite casino-style games on SpinQuest. They have over 1,000 games, including live dealer, blackjack, and craps, with tons of slots and unlimited options. You can get a $30 coin pack for just $10 for new users. Sign up today. Go to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and we're driving through the states in the Bluffmobile, and the best thing that we can do is play our favorite casino-style games on SpinQuest. They have over 1,000 games, including live dealer, blackjack, and craps, with tons of slots and unlimited options. You can get a $30 coin pack for just $10 for new users. Sign up today. Go to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hey, everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and we're driving through the states in the Bluffmobile, and the best thing that we can do is play our favorite casino-style games on SpinQuest. They have over 1,000 games, including live dealer, blackjack, and craps, with tons of slots and unlimited options. You can get a $30 coin pack for just $10 for new users. Sign up today. Go to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers. And $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.